This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 11 of the Against the Grain podcast. This episode is brought to you by the Revolution Health and Wellness Clinic. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they don't listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Welcome back. This is Brian Wilkes here with Dr. Chad Edwards, author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements and board certified in family medicine by the American Board of Family Medicine. How you doing today, Dr. Chad?
Brian, if I were any better, vitamins would be taking me.
Well, I don't know.
You don't even know what to say, do you?
I don't even know what to say. Marshall's looking at me like, you're with me on this, Marshall, right? This is awkward. This is an awkward moment. We should never start the show by a Dr. Chad joke. But I will tell you this. My father was a minister. And I'll put ministers and doctors in the same category, that when they tell a joke, it's funny to them. You know what I mean? They tell some pretty stale jokes.
Oh, I crack myself up.
Oh, yeah. It's what doctors and ministers do. I put them in the same category.
I don't care if anybody else laughs.
That's it. Hey,
it gets hilarious.
Hey, listen, we've got some important stuff to talk to you about today, right?
Man, this is one of the, like, a huge topic that affects a ton of people. So today we're talking about low back pain.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And what you can do about it.
Wow. Yeah. I know several people that just, it's just a persistent little pain in their back and they can never get rid of it, right?
This, you know, it ranges the spectrum from being just a little bit of pain that can disrupt all the way up to, you know, you can't get out of bed because your back hurts so bad. And there's a lot of different things that can cause this. But across the board, low back pain is incredibly, incredibly common. Did you know 27 million Americans
have
low back pain? It's an incredibly common thing. And we spend over $30 billion a year on issues related to low back pain. And, you know, when patients get low back pain, you know, you wonder what do you do? I mean, what's the typical timeline?
Right.
You know, a lot of times they'll kind of deal with it themselves. They'll take their anti-inflammatories, Motrin, Naprosyn, those kinds of things. They might do a little bit of stretching.
Right.
They might go to their doctor and say, hey, I've got low back pain.
Right.
You know, a lot of times they will, they'll work on some stretching. They'll try and do some things to strengthen their core. It's a really common thing. Sometimes they'll get referred for physical therapy. But if you go into your primary care doctor and you say, I've got low back pain, I can't speak for every primary care doc.
Right.
All I can do is speak for what I saw and what I did prior to, you know, my approach that I have today.
This back pain thing, though, is people should know it's big business too. $30 billion.
Yeah. Now that obviously impacts, like, you know, days from work and, you know, that's factored into that number. But yeah, there's a lot of surgeries and operations that are done for low back pain.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to talk about that too. But before we get into the surgery component, so what, you know, the typical timeline for patients when they have low back pain, they'll go to their doctor. And again, just speaking from what I saw and what I did, you know, we'll try those anti-inflammatories. Here's your Motrin. Here's your Naprosyn. We might use some pain medications. If that's not working, a lot of times we'll get an MRI, magnetic resonance imagery. And there's a pretty high likelihood that you're going to see something on that MRI. And if they do, then you get sent to a surgeon. And remember, one of those podcasts that we did just a couple of podcasts ago was on MRI and how sensitive it is. Picks up a lot of stuff, That doesn't mean that's the cause of your low back pain. So go back and take a listen to that podcast. Check that one out. So, you know, you get this MRI, and, you know, MRI in that former podcast we talked about, it's really just a roadmap for surgery. And do you need surgery or do you not? So you'll get sent to a surgeon, and it's not that every surgeon that sees low back pain is going to do surgery, but you are definitely, without question, getting a surgical perspective. If you're a surgeon, if you take your car to a mechanic, you're getting a mechanic's perspective on your car. It's just, you know, it's the nature of the beast. You know, in doing research on, you know, does surgery actually really help low back pain? There's a lot of data out there, and you'll see some things that for very specific conditions, low back pain or low back surgery can be of benefit. And specifically, if you have pain going down your leg, what we call mm-hmm. this radiculopathy. Now, you have to be very, very careful with that statement, and I'll come back to that later on. But so if you have this true nerve root impingement, the nerve that's coming out of your spine, going down your leg, if that's getting pinched, then surgery can be good for that. But surgery has a horrible track record if it's just for generalized low back pain and you get an MRI and there's something abnormal on there. And I read an article by this lady that got low back pain, and one of her friends actually commented in this article, and she said, her name was Marilyn Seiger, S-E-I-G-E-R, and she said, "I don't know anyone who's had surgery for back pain who had success." Mm. I remember so this is a story about low back pain.
It's story time.
This patient came to me hoping to get prolotherapy, and she had four low back surgeries. Four surgeries.
Right.
The first surgery, they went in and put hardware in there. So they put these metal devices in her back and kind of screwed everything together, did a fusion. Mm. That didn't help her pain, so they went back in thinking, well, maybe that stuff's causing pain. So they went in and took that hardware out. Still had back pain, so she had another surgery, and they put hardware back in, and then she had a fourth surgery where they took it back out.
It's like the Jiffy Lube.
In, out, in, out.
Jeez.
And yet she still had pain.
Well, let me ask you, when we talk about, you know, kind of back up here, Chad, when we talk about lower back pain.
Yeah.
You know, what's clinically speaking, what are those areas? Is a certain, I know it's in your lower back, but what's involved? Is it, I hear the word discs, I hear the word lumbars, I hear the word, what's makes up lower back pain typically?
Well, that's actually a great point. And typically, what makes up low back pain typically is kind of like saying, I had a car accident. What's typically
the car
damaged?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, did you get hit from the front or the back or the sides or did you roll your car? I
mean, right.
We're using this low back pain as a catch-all.
Right.
And accurate treatment is going to depend on an accurate assessment.
Right.
And I, in my training for family medicine, was not comprehensively trained in this. I remember getting educated on what we call these red flags. And so there are some red flags for low back pain where if you have a sudden onset or a pretty progressive onset of bowel or bladder problems, meaning you're having trouble going to the bathroom or you're messing yourself or you're wetting on yourself or you can't go.
Right.
So that's concern for some things that need to be intervened on fairly quickly. There are others that, you know, we're trained on these red flag symptoms, mm-hmm. but that's just like, oh, you got to get to a surgeon because you got to get that fixed. Everything else was this, you know, functional low back pain, and we'll try some of these things. We'll try physical therapy. Physical therapy, where I did residency, actually had a back pain class, and you would go into the class and you'd talk about doing all these little different movements and contractions and all those kinds of things. And I went to that class because I wanted to hear what they were telling my patients. And, you know, it helped some people for sure. But again, you're lumping everyone with low back pain into this category. So I don't think there's a very straightforward answer to your question. It depends on an accurate assessment.
So let's get down to the scientific analysis of or the statistics behind back pain in surgery. And I know you read this article, but is there any statistical information that the average person could look to that you were educated on that would say it works or it doesn't?
Yeah, so it depends specifically on what's causing the back pain.
Right.
You know, there are some, if you've got an MRI that shows the nerve coming out of the spine has the bone kind of growing around, it's what we call stenosis.
Okay. For back pain, is this one of the common?
I don't know the incidence. It's in my practice, it's not that common.
Okay.
So I'd have to look at the actual numbers, but I don't see it commonly.
Okay.
In my practice. So if your symptoms are consistent with nerve root impingement on that nerve, which would have a very specific distribution going down the leg, or, you know, other sequence of events, then yes, going in and cleaning that out can have a fairly high success rate.
Physically moving it, cleaning it out,
correct.
Whatever. Yeah,
correct.
That makes sense.
But again, understanding MRI and its sensitivity and then correlating that with physical exam, I just don't see, I myself don't see a tremendous number of patients that would benefit from surgery.
Hmm.
And in fact, I would say that I don't routinely recommend surgery for virtually any musculoskeletal condition until they have maximized the benefit with prolotherapy.
Gotcha. So tell me about the more common conditions that you see, two or three more common conditions associated with back pain. Still a large area, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
A lot of different complications, so, but what are the most common?
So the without question, the most common cause of low back pain that I see is because of ligaments or tendons being disrupted. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, someone was out lifting a couch or lifting something, lifted something, felt a little bit of a pop, immediate onset of pain.
Right.
That lasts 2 weeks and then goes away. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pain that's persistent beyond 6 weeks. So in that short term, I would argue that the most common would be just a musculoskeletal strain. So muscles, tendons, ligaments just getting strained. Now, we know that the vast majority, I think the number is around 80% of those conditions are going to heal on their own within 8 weeks.
Right.
6 weeks.
So it's a waiting game.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then we do symptom control in the middle of that. But again, you know, if you go to your doctor, the most likely thing that you're going to be prescribed is an anti-inflammatory. Like Motrin, Naprosyn, Celebrex,
right.
You know, one of those. And we have studies. You can look at the mechanism of how those medicines work and the mechanisms of how your body heals.
Right.
And those two are at odds. Your body heals through inflammation.
Right.
And with the anti-inflammatories, we're inhibiting that inflammation.
Inhibiting the healing process.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. So, you know, in prolotherapy is specifically formulated to heal those ligaments and tendons.
Okay, for those people that don't know what prolotherapy is or haven't listened to a podcast on prolotherapy, you can go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
But also give us a brief on what prolotherapy is.
So prolotherapy is a minimally invasive in-office procedure where we're injecting a proliferant solution, proliferant meaning that we're stimulating the growth of new collagen, and that is through the body's normal natural healing mechanisms for it to heal itself, to proliferate and grow new collagen. And collagen is kind of like the strands of a steel cable.
Right.
It makes the steel cable. So we're growing new strands, so to speak. And it's the inflammatory process that does that.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about why people don't know about prolotherapy and why they should.
This episode is brought to you by Upper Cervical Health Centers. Upper Cervical Health Centers is not your typical chiropractic office. Different in that they never jerk, twist, snap, or crack your spine. They offer a gentle approach to address your health issues naturally. Their patients report an improvement in over 75% in their overall health. They are so much more than a neck and back pain relief. Call 918-742-2300 or visit their website at www.UpperCervicalTulsa.com/newyou, and that's new YOU, for a special offer on your first visit. Find your way back to health with Upper Cervical Health Centers.
Welcome back from the break. This is Brian Wilkes here with Dr. Chad Edwards, author of Revolutionize Your Health with Custom Supplements. Dr. Chad, before the break, we were talking a little bit about prolotherapy and why people don't know about it and why they should. So why do you think first of all, let's talk about the success rates of prolotherapy as it relates to lower back pain.
So when you look historically, prolotherapy has been around since, you know, in its current form,
right,
since the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, somewhere in there. Dr. Hackett published his first case series reports in the 1950s, and he began doing his papers in the 1930s. So it's been around for a long time. It has a track record across the board, not just with low back pain, of an 85% success rate.
Wow.
And, you know, he published all of his case series and all of these different things. So it's got a great track record and an excellent safety record,
right,
over, you know, decades. And it works very well. One of the studies that was done on prolotherapy was done by a guy named Yelland, Y-E-L-L-A-N-D. And he was evaluating treatment with prolotherapy versus saline injections. He was doing what was what's called a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blinded study.
Right. So Say that 10 times real fast.
Exactly. That 10 times.
Another doctor check.
So they you know, they separated the patients into two separate groups.
Right.
Now, so when we get into why don't people know about this? Well, I would argue that some of the reasons that people don't know about it is because their doctors don't know about it. Why don't their doctors know about it? Well, partly, I don't know. I had never heard of prolotherapy until I was in the military and one of my commanders came and said, I need prolotherapy, and I had no idea
right.
To what he was referring. So we had to learn about it, and he got all fixed up because of it. And so as I started doing my research, one of the things, you know, we've talked about the Cochrane Collaboration. It's a group of researchers that look at all of the available studies, and they'll make a kind of a consensus on this.
Right.
This works or it doesn't. So the Cochrane Review looked at the Cochrane Collaboration looked at five studies, and their conclusion at the end of reviewing this was that there's conflicting data on it, but we're not convinced that it works.
Right.
Again, that largest study was by Yelland, and he had, I think it was 110 patients in the study. And when they, so he did prolotherapy injections on one group.
Right.
And then he did saline injections on the other group. Uh-huh. They didn't know who was who. It was at the end of the study that it came out in the data. So at the end of the study, they compared the two groups, and there was no statistically significant difference between the two groups. It was within the margin of error, and so it wasn't considered statistically significant. So their conclusion, according to the Cochrane Review, was that it didn't work versus placebo.
Right.
So, you know, that caused my head scratching. I mean, I had to scratch my head about this because I had been doing prolotherapy for, you know, at least several months when I started looking into this. And I knew that it worked. And not only did it worked very, very well.
I mean, you're giving this to soldiers in the field of battle, right?
Well, not while they're getting shot at. But yes,
Is that another doctor joke?
Maybe.
Okay.
They were having a lot of musculoskeletal problems.
Right.
And these were things that I didn't typically have a good solution for.
Mm-hmm.
And we did prolotherapy on them, and they got better. So when I see this study that says this doesn't work, and then I read the Cochrane Collaboration that says this doesn't work, but I know darn good and well it works, we have a problem.
Right.
And so I got all of the studies, and I read them. Now, the interesting thing about the Yellen study was the average duration of pain for the patients in that Yellen study was 14 years. So in both groups, the control group and the prolotherapy group, they both had an average duration of pain of 14 years. So they had pain for a long time. And they assumed that saline injections were a placebo. Now, we've got studies that show that dry needling, sticking a needle, anybody in a physical therapy realm will certainly know what dry needling is, and many of our patients may know. But we know that sticking a needle in the tissue, not injecting anything, just sticking a needle in the tissues, has an effect. And they've compared that versus placebo, and we know that there is an effect with that, you know, beyond placebo. So when you're doing a saline injection, we cannot say fairly that a saline injection is a placebo. Some would argue with me on that, but I think the data speaks for itself, you know, beyond the Yellen study.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second piece of this is that when you, at the end of this study, they asked the two different groups, what do you think, you know, how are you doing? And both groups were very happy with their results. So basically what you're doing is comparing one therapy versus another and then saying that one of them doesn't work,
right?
But yet all of them were very happy, and they had pain for 14 years.
Chad, you actually read the study? No one does that.
I read the entire study.
You know, Mark Twain said, and I pulled up this quote here, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics.
That's exactly right. I say that every day.
Yeah, so it's important that you go to a doctor that actually reads the studies, right?
Well, because
there's
because
contrary
exactly
evidence.
That.
Yeah, there's contrary evidence, yeah.
And then we see this throughout medicine. We've talked a little bit about it, and we'll talk more about it in the future. But, you know, we'll get a study, and then we'll say, this is the truth because
right.
the study proves it.
Yeah.
But it was never asking the question that you're bringing up.
Right.
Or it wasn't asking the question in that population. Or it wasn't under those circumstances. And
well, I think that if you back away from this this, you know, this conversation, and you ask yourself, okay, so I'm going to take a liquid, okay, that Dr. Edwards injects in my leg that really has no harmful effect at all, even if it doesn't work.
Okay? That's exactly right.
That's like the worst case scenario. You pay some money. It doesn't work. And prolotherapy does work.
Correct.
I'm just saying, and you encourage anybody to come try it, and you'll prove it to them. But I guess the opposite of that is that let's trust this study and go get our back cut open. And to your earlier point and to your earlier analogy, the downside is they put hardware in, they take hardware out, they put it back in.
Exactly.
And you're getting cut open, which is, there's pretty big risks.
Absolutely.
In those things.
Absolutely.
And it's also time off work. And I think people need to back away from all these kind of conversations we have. And it's not a conspiracy. You just have to look around your work, okay? And I think it was Steve Jobs that said, you know, the world is a much different place when you finally realize that everything created around you was created by people that were no smarter than you, right?
That's right.
And so when you look at these statistics and you look at these surveys, you know, you do have to go against the grain, because the grain says, hey, these smart people looked at it, you know, and so it must be right.
That's right.
Right? But the problem with that is if you look around your work, wherever you work right now, and you go, you know, I'm not sure all these people are smart. because you're with them.
Right.
But that's how it is in every organization. You really have to look into these statistics, and you have to begin to question the viability of the study itself. And then you have to compare it against the risk analysis of surgery on your back, or try an alternative treatment. And the alternative treatment's much cheaper too. I mean, you can't really sell this at a hospital as compared to surgery. Surgery is a costly thing, right?
Right.
It's a bigger bill, in other words.
Correct.
All of a sudden you have 80% of those people cured from the pain and by prolotherapy, and I would assume that's a big drop in revenue for a hospital, a substantial drop in revenue.
Right. Now, we need to be careful about using the word cure, because that statement has not been evaluated by the FDA, and we have to be very careful.
I have to be careful?
I guess you can say whatever you want.
Right.
I am being clear and saying I'm not saying that we're curing people of their low back pain.
I'm saying whatever I want.
Exactly.
God bless America.
Go for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I can tell you that I have many patients that came in with pain and leave without pain.
Right.
However you want to get from point A to point B is up to you.
Whatever words you want to use.
That's right.
Yeah. So tell me about what does the average person comes in and they complain about pain. You would say, let's say out of the 10 people that come to your office about lower back pain.
Right.
You inject, let's throw out the nerve pain, which you said would be substantial to have surgery, right? Out of 10 people, generally, how many see improvements from prolotherapy?
Well, statistically, I think it depends on patient selection, but across the board.
Let's just say your experience.
So across the board, my experience.
Right.
In excess of 85% of them.
That's pretty substantial.
I agree.
Now, when you say improvement, is that generally like they don't feel pain anymore, or they just have less pain or no pain?
My goal is that we eliminate their pain and restore them to full function.
Right.
That's my goal.
We didn't say cure.
Correct.
Okay.
Important. My goal is to improve pain, improve function, and prolotherapy has an excellent track record at doing that with next to no risk.
Right.
And we review all of the risks when they come in.
Which are?
So generally we talk about bleeding and infection. I participate in the Hackett-Hemwall Foundation, and they're arguably the largest organization in the world on prolotherapy. And we have people in multiple countries, and whenever there's an adverse event, we...
Right.
The organization.
Share the information.
Kind of, exactly. Yeah. But
this is it. I know people may be afraid of this, but you should be more afraid of a knife. But this is a needle.
Without question.
This is a needle, right?
Exactly.
This is a shot.
Right. Yeah.
So the risk associated with this are similar to getting a shot.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So the first part is just that bleeding and infection. We have to talk about that needle itself.
Again, same thing. You get a vaccination for something. Right.
Now, hitting something that we don't intend to hit, like a nerve, an artery, a vein, something like that. Now, in medicine, we hit arteries with with needles. We actually hit nerves with needles, and we hit veins with needles all the time. You get your blood drawn, we're hitting a vein with a needle.
Right.
Sounds
awful.
We intentionally do that in some cases.
Right.
Most of the time with prolotherapy, the vast majority of the time, You know, even if we were to hit one of those structures,
right,
it is not a severe consequence.
Right.
In fact, of doing prolotherapy for nearly 8 years and doing thousands of procedures, I've never had a single consequence or a single negative outcome wow. of any kind.
Well, I would suggest that people out there listening, if your back pain isn't bad enough that it eliminates your fear of a needle, then it's probably not that bad, right? You get a lot of people that have had years of back pain, right? I know personally, and I think we've talked about it on other shows, I know former pro baseball players have been to you, former football players, mm-hmm. And they've got chronic pain in their back.
Multiple military special operations.
Right.
I worked with several special operations units, had great success with that stuff, police officers, SWAT department, fire department. I mean, running the gamut. And then, you know, their age has ranged all the way from, I think 13 was the youngest one I've done, 12, all the way up to 95.
Right. I know you have a very credible network of people that have been to the clinic, some high-profile people that have been to the clinic and would testify on prolotherapy. But give us an example of one case that sticks out in your mind. Sorry to put you on the spot, but someone that you remember, not by name, that was in a great deal of lower back pain that came and got prolotherapy.
So actually, the one that comes to mind, and I could, in fact, on my website, revolutionhealth.org/ I think it's testimonials, but on my website, you can see the testimonials and you can see their stories.
Just Google Revolution Health.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but the one that comes to mind is the one of the very first prolotherapy patients that I did prolotherapy on. She was an active duty young lady, staff sergeant, and she was a very motivated soldier, worked hard, and she had this low back pain, and she actually came to see me because she needed a profile, meaning she needed a letter that said she didn't have to do sit-ups on her physical fitness test. She could run, she could do push-ups, she couldn't do sit-ups. It just hurt too bad to do those. And we did 3 rounds of prolotherapy. After the second round, she had 2 weeks where she had no pain at all.
Right.
And after the third round, she had resolved her pain. And she had gotten to where she couldn't even clean her house.
Wow.
This was a young girl.
Wow.
And I've got, there's tons of cases like that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me, I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, that I had watched a Frontline series on PBS. And I'd watched a Frontline special on PBS. And it was talking about supplements.
Right.
And they had tested, various supplements to ensure that a clinic had tested it to ensure that there were the right properties in it. There weren't. Over a third had the wrong properties.
Right.
And it was in the 90s, and the supplement industry kind of came together and lobbied Washington to not restrict supplemental use, right, in those categories that the people that have, in essence, been caught and red-handed been caught. It didn't work.
Right.
Right. It wasn't working. It can't work. It didn't have the ingredients in it.
Right.
It can't work. They didn't have people testifying it did work either.
Right.
They were actually having the opposite. People were having pain, and they found that it was lined, some of the pills were lined with anabolic steroids, and they were having lower back pain as a result.
Right.
Which is crazy. You know, women growing hair, facial hair.
Right.
Crazy stuff. And what was interesting about this, and I think it relates to our topic, is they lobbied Washington, and there was no punishment. And today, those same people make the same drugs and supplements.
That's right.
And my point is when you think about things like prolotherapy, you think, I've never heard of it, can't work. It's not true. I would argue that there are lobbyists in Washington, D.C. right now arguing for surgery, arguing for surgical methods on back pain, and they probably have a lot more money than the prolotherapy people.
There's no question.
So when a possible solution to a very large problem happens in the medical industry, it is far from the first thing that's considered of does it work or not.
Right.
Is it profitable? Who's involved? And will Washington lobby? Well, who will lobby Washington to keep it down? I think you see it in a lot of documentaries. I think people know it. And I think prolotherapy is one of those things that I think anyone that uses it knows that it works. I say to anyone that uses it, I assume there's some cases where it probably wouldn't work as well as others.
Sure.
But in your clinic, 85% of the time, people see improvement. That's pretty dramatic. And I think some people probably wonder why that is. And I think if you think carefully about it, it's not hard to figure out. I've talked about it numerous times on the show. And you'd think everyone would be rushing towards it, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's... But, you know, when there's something that's new,
right.
This isn't new, but it's new to them.
Sure.
And often what I see is people looking for a reason that it won't work. Now, I get a lot of people that'll look for a reason that it will work.
Right.
I would argue that those people have a real true need.
Right.
But some people, you know, it's just the way they're wired. I'm going to go, you know, talk to my surgeon and he said surgery and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. It's like that in business too. It's actually the law of diffusion of innovation. It's called the S curve. And they say that, you know, you have to get 15% of the people to get the next 20%, and you have to get the next 20% to get the next 30%.
Right.
And then, you know, there's the laggard stage. Those are people that are still using rotary phones. You know, they don't believe in the cell phone.
Right.
So, you know, people are slow to change on these kind of things.
Yes.
Very slow to change.
Right.
That's not just in medicine, but that's in business. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you get people that you tell about this and they still come into your clinic and they say, I want surgery?
Well, it's rare once they come into my clinic, my front office would probably say, no, we get a few,
right.
But it's not many.
Right.
I do what I can to get them in the door for an evaluation because that's when we're really going to be able to make a difference because on the physical exam, I'll be able to determine, you know, I don't know that this is going to help you or I think this is the best thing for you. I had a patient last week that he was undergoing some stuff and with his issue, we had done two rounds.
Right.
And I said, you know, based on what you're telling me, I don't know that prolotherapy is the best solution for you.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have done prolotherapy. I like doing the procedure. You know, certainly I wanted to get paid for doing the procedure, but I didn't think that was in his best interest. So, I wasn't convinced that I was going to be able to help him.
Well, that's one, I think I hear people talking about you, right? And that's one of the things that people say about you is this guy's passionate about what he does. He believes in what he does and he's going to do what's best for the patient. I think that's missing from the medical profession these days. I think you take your oath seriously. And I think it's reflected in this, you just taking the time out to do this podcast. I think the goal of this podcast is for people to know, and knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
That's your slogan, right? That's your vision, right? People know about it, right? That's
yeah, I want point. People to know about it, yeah, yes.
It's not a great, I think against the grain's better, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, hey, we'll look forward to seeing you in the next podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.